Welcome to Learning Together. I'm Dave Dimmitt, President and CEO of Project Lead the Way. Over the last several years, I've visited classrooms in every state, and one of the most important things I've learned is that the best insights about education often come directly from students. Learning Together is a series of unscripted conversations where students share their perspective around the intersection of school, work, and life. These are discussions about the skills that matter, the shift toward AI, and what it actually feels like to navigate the challenges of modern learning. Thanks for joining. We are here at Marston Middle School in San Diego, excited to sit down with some amazing middle school students. We're going to hear all about what's happening for you in school, things you're excited about, things that you're learning, maybe some challenges that you've overcome, that kind of thing. So we'll just dig in. Let's go around first and have you give me your first name and tell me what grade you're in.
I'm Oliver and I'm in sixth grade.
I'm Allie and I'm in sixth grade. I'm Elena and I'm in seventh grade.
And I'm Matthew and I'm in eighth grade.
Okay, great. So sixth, seventh, eighth grade, we got the whole range here. What are some of the things that you're in the middle of right now in your classes? We're not quite at the end of the school year. What are some of the big things that you're working on right now?
We're doing a little bit of state testing in science for my grade. And then we're going into Romeo and Juliet for English. So lots of big-ish projects towards the end of the year to kind of close out.
Yeah, big. And then you're going to high school next year.
Yes.
So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
So end of the year, a lot of times you do have testing and those kinds of things, wrap up the year. What other things are you?
My team just finished the animatronic project. We kind of did like a sports theme. Where it's like foam finger, sports ball.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. You all are working on a project over here we were just looking at a few minutes ago.
We actually just finished that project, the animatronic. It's not really an animatronic, it's just a two-part mechanism decoration.
Okay. And how long did it take you to build that?
I think we had like a week, and I think it took us like 4 days out of five to
okay.
build that.
Yeah. Okay. And did you do a design first on paper?
Yeah, of course.
Do you that like in a notebook, an engineering notebook, or are you doing it online a little bit?
Me personally, I usually just do it on a blank piece of paper just to get my first initial thoughts down.
Okay.
And then we kind of combine them together.
Then you're coming back at the end and you're trying to decide which design you're going to build?
Yeah. And if we can't decide, we kind of take a little bit of like both designs and we like combine them in a way that is possible.
What are the challenges when you go from your design to then actually trying to build that thing?
It's really like all of the stuff that you didn't show in the drawing, because like it's really hard to be insanely realistically detailed in your drawings. Yeah. So you have to like figure out what to add in the places that are blank in the drawing.
Okay, interesting. Right. So even with a really detailed drawing, sometimes there's something you run into that doesn't look the way you maybe thought it might.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that we may have trouble with is that we may have like a kind of general idea for what we want it to look like and what functions we want it to have. And then we'll try and implement either a mechanism or a function. And we'll think that will work on paper, and then it doesn't. So then we'll need to go back, revise the design, figure out something that will work better, switch out a different mechanism. But I think that one of the biggest issues that we have, or that I have, is things not working exactly like on paper.
Sure. That's life, right? It's a lot of things don't work the way you think they're going to work. What do you do when you get frustrated and it's not working the way you want it to work?
We actually had this for our automated door, which we had an idea where we were going to use a rack and pinion to be able to slide the door. But the only issue is that the bars for the rack were extremely small and we didn't really know how to hold it together. And we didn't know how to keep the gear like stable. And so we ended up going through a lot of designs, and then we either had to do a different mechanism or keep going with it. And we ended up keep going with it. And it did eventually work. We put it on some guide rails and that helped. So.
Yeah, so you persisted, kind of kept going through that. Oliver, you were gonna add something?
Yeah, for my group with the automated door, we did like strategy where we had to use different gear trains to get like some weird parts where they were like half gear, half connector piece.
Okay.
Where you had to connect that through a shaft while also meshing it with another gear yeah. to open the door.
Pretty challenging, it sounds like, on some of the things.
That out on paper. Yeah, like...
I love that. I love that you're in sixth grade doing that. That's pretty cool. So you were going to add too, like you've had similar situations like that?
For us, it was also the door one, because we were thinking that we're going to do it with two doors that open at the same time, but we couldn't figure out how to do that with only one motor. So then we kind of had to figure out that we only really had to use one motor and one door.
Okay.
To make it easier.
So did you get it to work the way you wanted it to work?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. What resources were you going to, you know, because it sounds like there's this vision you have for the thing you're trying to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't work the way you thought it was going to work. Okay. Yes. So that's going to happen a lot in life. And then you kept going. What were you going to get more information? Because you had this problem that you had to solve. So what sources of information did you have to try to solve those problems?
All of the like information that was on the Project Lead the Way page.
Okay. So some of the things that we are providing for you, that was helpful. Okay, great. What else?
At things in like real life that we've seen, like automatic doors that we've also seen in real life.
So doing some research and you found some examples of some things.
We found some examples of one door. So.
Yeah. Do you, and obviously are you talking to other people in your group and team and asking?
Yeah, I would say we've talked to other people in different groups, see what they've been doing and seeing if that can all correlate to our design. My team used online references of other people who like rack and pinions and rack and pinion builds. And so we're able to see how they were able to overcome our problems. And then we might be able to use their solutions to ours, or come up with our own solution if theirs isn't quite working.
Yeah. What percentage of the population do you think knows what rack and pinion is?
Oh,
yeah. Probably, you don't have to, there's, I don't even know what the answer to that is,
but maybe
it's not a very big number, I'm sure.
A lot.
But here you are, you're learning about that to try to solve a problem.
Yeah, and I think having that knowledge is a really special thing going forward for career options and education.
Yeah. Okay. And just, I mean, life, there's so much out there. Just if you're a little bit more curious, like you're going to learn a lot.
Yeah.
And it makes, I mean, even if it's not something that helps you for a job, it makes life a lot more interesting just to try to look in the world around us. So let's talk about AI just for a second. Like here you are, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. You're going to live in a world. AI is not going away. At this early point in your lives, what are you thinking about AI?
I'm thinking that like it's kind of hard to use. And when you do use it, it's kind of harder to trust because it can be wrong sometimes.
Yeah. It hallucinates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And part of it is understanding how AI works. Like AI is just a prediction tool. It's taken all this information. Do you know how AIs are trained?
Yes.
So all this stuff is ingested and it's just predicting the answer to a question.
Yeah.
But there's also some really interesting uses for AI. Like everything I've read about cancer detection is that AI is very good at early cancer detection. And if we can detect diseases earlier, then maybe that's helpful, right? Yeah. It can save somebody's life. What else are you thinking about with AI?
The issue with AI right now is that it's being trained by all of these like really, really large companies. And I feel that if it's going to be implemented in schools, if it's going to be implemented through civil matters, if it's going to be implemented anywhere, I feel that those companies will effectively have a say in how all of that's run because they're the one who's training the AI model.
I think maybe you mentioned it too, like you use the word trust and there's a little bit of distrust, right? And thinking about, well, what are these tools? Who benefits from the tools is, I think, a question.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question.
Yeah. How about any thoughts on, I mean, you're going to live in this world.
Yeah. I'm just worried it's going to close like job opportunities
in
the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people think that. Definitely going to be disruptive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So, okay. What are the skills, maybe a little bit about the skills that you're building in your classes, how you're using them, and then maybe even things that you feel like humans can do, you can do, that AI can't do?
I would say that some of the skills we're building in here is learning how to make a fluid solution. And what I mean by that is, in math, if you're given a certain problem, there is one solution to it that is correct. Same thing for English, a certain sentence, you know, all those different parts of speech, those are set parts of speech. A fluid solution, in my mind, is many different solutions that are all correct. So I think that what this class allows us to do is for us to be able to create our own ideas of correct and make our own different ways to being able to get to a solution. Yeah. And I think that that's a really cool skill to have.
Yeah. Well, I think you said this, and what I'm hearing too is the idea that you're not just trying to give back right answers for a test.
Yeah, yeah.
You're solving problems. And there are lots of different ways to solve problems. So,
yeah.
I mean, and maybe the skill that you're building is one of the big parts of it is you're a problem solver. You're learning how to solve, and life's full of problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Probably just like thinking outside of the box and coming up with ideas that are new.
To me, and if I'm wrong, if this does not match up with what you're thinking, I hear you saying like creative thinking a little bit, like an idea, coming up with ideas that maybe are non-obvious ideas.
Yeah.
And you've done that in some of the projects that you've worked on, is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. How's that feel? Being able to be creative and...
Feels like really good to like be able to... There's some people think there's like one correct answer to a problem that's like the most efficient, but there could be like less efficient ways that are better to get to, kind of. Yeah.
And sometimes more interesting too. And and the part of it, especially for you right now at 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, the goal isn't to be the most efficient answer and have the right answer the fastest. I mean, the goal is to think and learn and explore a little bit too, it feels like.
I think the best way to explain it is being different feels good. Having a different solution, it allows you to be able to say, hey, I've done something new today.
Yeah, that's
really awesome.
Well, I love too, and a lot of times when I travel and visit Project Lead the Way classrooms, you know, you'll look at a set of projects that students built, and sometimes they can be very different, but then there are elements of it that are similar too. Do you ever, when you're solving problems, do you ever see other groups maybe do something fairly different than what you've done?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like almost like the exact opposite.
Sometimes. Yeah.
I would have never thought of it that way, but they did it a different way.
So do you find that that's interesting?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really ever ask anyone why they did it that way, but I always look at their projects and I go, that's a really interesting and way to do it, where I would never have thought of it that way. Yeah.
Do you ever at the end of your projects stop and go back and say, okay, what's one thing we would do differently? Do you ever do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think reflection on projects is definitely a thing that I do a lot.
Yeah.
Constantly is like, this might be problematic if we were running this a lot for testing. Maybe we could change it so it's less problematic or not problematic at all.
Yeah.
We're always like revising every time we add something new or take something away.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I love that too. At the end, what like the work you're done. Has that ever happened where you finished a project, you've got the grade, you're moving on to the next thing, and sometimes you go back and you think, oh, wow, we should have done blank.
Yes.
You ever go back?
Like some classes allow us to like redo projects that we've done before and we don't like the grade. I recently did that with my CER.
I love that.
Social studies.
Life is a lot like that. You get more than one chance in most places and lots of opportunities to learn too. So I think that's, to me, that's real life. Doing that. One of my goals in doing this podcast is that there are a lot of people who are making decisions about school. They don't get to talk to students as much as some people do. So if we're thinking about what we want schools to look like, if you could build the school of the future, what are some things you think would be really important?
I think more hands-on projects, because I like being like, it feels like I'm real world ready, and I feel like I can solve problems in the future. Because I get to do stuff that might actually happen.
Yeah, so build hands-on, building, testing, trying. Yeah, that's great.
It's a lot because, like, some people might be a little bit... Some people might learn better hands-on than listening.
Yeah.
So I feel like that might help them a little bit more.
Yeah, great. Good, thank you.
And I also think it's much more like... what was the word?
Hands-on?
Oh, interactive.
Yeah.
Like... It sticks more, I guess,
because
you're in it and you, like, do it, and you kind of have to do it to like make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just hearing about it, you actually get to do it.
Yeah.
And you get to like see it instead of like imagining it.
And I'd also say for the school of the future, I'd probably want to have as many different courses that could stem off to different careers that students would be able to try and experience, because a lot of people, when they get older, some of them end up with a job that they don't really like. And part of that may be because that they never found something that they liked better. And so I think that giving students that opportunity to be able to try everything and try all those different courses would allow them to find like what they really want to do in life. And that would allow them to be able to have so many more opportunities that they really enjoy.
So a little bit more exploratory opportunities to getting exposed to different things. I know that's something that's really important to us. The great news is the skills that you're talking about, like collaboration, working together as part of a team, problem solving, creativity, those will help you in almost anything. And the thing I love too is they're not just good skills for school and for work, they're really good skills for life. Like when you have those skills, you're the kind of person I want to be my neighbor and live, you know, live in the same community and help us solve problems that we have. You mentioned careers, Matthew. So
yes,
it's way too early. Like, you don't have to commit. I'm not going to come back and check to see if you actually do these things. But are there careers that you're already thinking about that are interesting to you?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about electrical engineer.
Electrical engineer?
Mechanical.
Oh, mechanical engineer. What made you think about mechanical engineering?
I just like working with big machines and figuring out how to build those and how to improve the already existing machines to build better machines.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
I would say I'm kind of split. I really, really like doing acting and going into the performative field. Only issue with that is that it's a really unstable market, and that like it's a little bit difficult to make it big in that industry. So I was going to try and do that, but I think that what I'll end up likely doing is going into robotic engineering, because I'm really interested in making different like humanoid robots that could be present in society. And I'm also really interested in the ethics of AI and robots and how they'd be treated.
That's going to be so important, and having people who really are thoughtful and thinking about that. And also, I do think that the humanities and the arts are going to be increasingly important.
Yes.
Things that help us understand what
especially with the rise of AI.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so don't give up on that. And there's also things that you can do for work, and there are things that you can do that are fulfilling. Hopefully those things come together.
Yes.
In your life too. How about you? Things you're thinking about?
I want to be a biomechanical engineer, because I want to be a part of the medical industry, but also the engineer industry. So that way I could kind of do both.
Yeah. Awesome. Love that.
Sure what I want to
yeah
do.
Yeah, I'm so I am shocked actually that three of the four of you had something very specific. So our job as adults then is to make sure that you have experiences that help you kind of understand what your options are. So is there anything I didn't ask you that you were wanting to share today?
I wouldn't say so, no.
No, we hit it all? We did it all?
I think so.
Okay, awesome. Well, I can't thank you enough. This is my first middle school group. So we're doing this podcast. My goal is to eventually have a chance to sit down with students in every state. But this is the first. I've done several high school groups so far. So you're going to be the very first middle school students on our podcast. So I can't thank you enough for being on the Learning Together podcast today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
That's our conversation for today. My thanks to our guest for sharing their time and ideas. You'll find additional resources in the show notes, along with a link to PLTW's flagship podcast, Inspired. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another perspective from the classroom. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can join us in learning together.